You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
We've been teaching on Wednesday nights on overcoming, getting the victory, being victorious in life. Life's a battle. Anybody figure that out yet? It seems to be one challenge after another, one test after another, one battle after another, but really, it's one victory after another. It's not one test after another. It's one testimony after another testimony. Man, I just go on one battle after another. But no, you get at one victory after another victory. You get one miracle after another miracle. See, there's two ways you can look at that. There's an outcome to every battle. There's an outcome to every test. And I don't doubt God's not testing you. He's sure not putting you through the battle. He's giving you the victory and giving you the testimony. So you can say, I would like a life of testimonies. Well, you can't have testimonies without the test. I mean, the devil's trying to destroy you with the test, so why not give him a black eye and just get a testimony out of the test? And we're called to fight. Christianity is not a passive truth, not a passive religion. I hate to say religion. It's not a religion. Christianity is not passive. We don't lay down and die. We stand up, fight, and win. Christianity is very aggressive. Very aggressive. If you go through the scripture, it's very plain. Now, we don't fight each other. We do fight principalities, spiritual wickedness, heavenly places, rulers of the darkness of this world. Ephesians 6:12. We fight, but we fight the good fight of faith is what we fight. But we don't lay down when things go wrong. We don't just give up and throw the towel in. I mean, you wouldn't do that if somebody was invading your home. You'd fight and defend your children and your house and so on and so forth. Well, you know, there's a devil out there, and he's after your soul. He's after your children. He's after your health. He's after your witness. You can't just lay down and say, man, life's so tough. Well, life is tough, but you got to fight. Take the word and fight with it. And of course, you have to be in shape to do that. You have to train to do that. You can't wait till the battle hits and then decide, now I'm going to get in shape. It's a little late for that. We need to be training all the time, disciplining ourselves all the time, and be people of prayer, people of faith. And so when the big obstacle comes, we've been believing all the time. We've been praying all the time. We've had testimony after testimony. We're going to hit this thing head on in the name of Jesus, and we're going to get the promises of God, and we're going to win this deal in Jesus' name. Sometimes we get our feet knocked out from under us, and we get sucker punched as it is. But when the crying's over, we get back up on our feet, and we say, okay, now we're going to pray. Amen? Because that's what we do. 1 Timothy, found it? Is that where I want to turn to? So you don't know where I want to turn to. Oh, well, that's okay, because I don't either. 1 Timothy 6:12. I've quoted this, but let's look at it. We've been teaching on overcoming, and of course we overcome by faith. Faith is our weapon. That's how we win this deal. Don't lose your faith. Don't let your faith weaken. I can tell you this right now. If you're going to strengthen your faith, the only way you can strengthen your faith is on purpose. The only way you can get in shape is on purpose. Nobody gets in shape, you know, by surprise. Nobody gets strong in faith, you know, just at random. If you want to build your faith, then you're going to have to do it on purpose. You're going to have to do something to make that happen. In fact, it's just a law. If you don't, a physical law in the natural, if you don't do anything, you will get weaker. So you can't be neutral. There's no way you can be neutral in this thing. You have to make a decision. We're going to grow in God, or we're going to get weaker. Now, if we get weaker, not good, not good, because battles keep coming, see? The bullets keep flying, and the obstacles are still out there. There's still mountains we've got to cross and climb or confess out of the way, one of the two. And we have an enemy. See, there's some absolutes in life. There are some. We have an enemy. We have a battle. And there's always going to be an outcome. It's always going to be an outcome. So you can't check out. You can't check out of the battle. There's battles everywhere. I've heard preachers say, well, I'm going to quit the ministry. I'm going to get out and get me a real job where I don't have to deal with people. And I remember telling one guy that. I said, there is no such job. Yeah. There, even if you don't have a job, you still got neighbors and relatives. There's people everywhere you go. You got to deal with it. You've got to, you know, first of all, get over yourself. Amen? Because we got over you a long time ago. Notice what it says here in 1 Timothy 6:12. Fight. Notice it doesn't say, you know, you know, get somebody to fight for you. No, it says you fight the good fight of faith. You fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called, and have confessed or professed a good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I love that. And I love to expound on that. It's a good fight of faith because we win if we believe. Now, you can get sidetracked with what we're fighting, why we're fighting, what's going on here, and start fighting each other, and that's not what we're fighting. We're fighting the fight of faith. The devil's trying to get you to not believe God. He'll put up smoke screens and detours and make you think it's a thousand things, but it always comes down to this. He's trying to get you to not trust God, to not believe God. He hits you one thing, he hits you another thing, then he'll try something else. But see, the bottom line is if you do not quit believing God, the devil will lose and you will win. Because faith is the victory.
That's right.
It is the victory that overcomes the world, according to 1 John 5, verse 5. Whosoever is born of God, the fourth verse says, overcomes the world. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Right. You got to rise up. You can't lie down. You lie down and die. You got to rise up, stand up, and win. We're called to win. We're called to fight. We're called to win. We're called to pray. We're called to change things. We're called to... ordained by God, think about it, to pray and believe God when things go wrong. God told us things would go wrong. He said that all through the Scripture, and He told us what to do. Now, God forbid we wouldn't do it, that we'd just quit, we'd give up, we'd stop, we wouldn't believe. When that's how we're going to win, is by believing. Amen. Fight the good fight of faith. You know, God always raises up somebody, usually you. You know, to overcome the situation, to overcome the battle, to overcome the crisis. He's got to use somebody. Somebody's got to believe. Someone's going to have to get in faith. In your family, somebody's going to have to get in faith. In your marriage, somebody's going to have to get in faith. It's going to have to be somebody that believes. God uses us. That's just the way He made the world. He works through us. He works through our faith and through our prayers and through our agreement with Him. He wants to work with us. He wants to... And I read this... He does pursue us. I know that. There's no question. His will is that we win. His will is that we have a good marriage. His will is that we have a good life. His will is... His will doesn't automatically happen. His will involves us. We're workers together with God. God does pursue us. I mean, we don't all of a sudden wake Him up, knock on His door, and see if He's there and hope He'll help us. He's trying to help us. He's trying to wake us up and knock on our door. Are you with me? Just the opposite of that. When I believe God, I'm not all of a sudden making God aware of my situation. God's aware of it. He finally got through to me to where I'd stand in faith where He could work with me because He's been wanting to bless me all this time. He's been wanting to heal me. He's been wanting me to get up and fight and win this deal because if I'd stand up, He'd stand with me. He's been in me all that time. He's wanting to dance. He really wants to dance. I love that. Read this the other day, but he doesn't want to dance alone, and he doesn't want to dance with a mannequin, and he doesn't want to dance with somebody he hires to dance with him. Yeah. Are you with me? His hand is out there, and he's asking you for a dance. And you have the choice to dance with him or not. He won't make you dance. And he's not going to pay you to do it. But he'll dance with you. He'll dance with you if you'll accept. See, if you'll enter in to the fray, and stand up. God just loves it when people believe. He really just loves it. Hebrews 11:6 tells us, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Wow, that's a pretty strong statement. It is impossible to please Him, for he that comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. Now, isn't this fascinating? God's not just pleased when we choose to believe Him. He's pleased when we actually believe He'll do what He says. He's pleased when we believe that He will reward us. Whoo! Yeah. Are you with me? Because there's two things in that scripture, that 6th verse, the 11th chapter of Hebrews, where it says, without faith it's impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that He is. That's one. But number two is that He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. So we not only believe in God and we come to Him, but we believe He will reward us when we come to Him. Amen. That's faith, and that pleases God. That's the battle we're in. It's a battle of trust. It's a battle of, do we really believe God's going to come through? God's really going to get us through? Does He really supply our needs? Are we really trusting Him? Or have we got all of our faith in everything in the world except Him? No, don't do that. No. Be that one that He uses. Rise up and let God speak through you. You know, I think it even in we know this in history. Of course, in the Old Testament, we know several battles that took place. The book of Judges is just one battle after another, God raising up somebody that would trust Him, that would believe Him. Judges just meant deliverers. They were saviors. They were people that God raised up that would believe and trust Him. Many times He had to work with them because they didn't initially trust Him. But Ryan and I were just talking about that today. Ryan, Destry, and I were... I don't know if Destry was in there or not at that time. We were talking about in Judges, the 6th chapter, where Gideon, God, you know, appeared to Gideon when he was threshing wheat and says, you know, hail thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon, of course, looking around thinking, who are you talking to, you know? He didn't believe in himself. He didn't see himself the way God saw him. But God got him in faith, and He raised up an army, and He delivered the children of Israel. And that's the whole story of Judges. It's just one judge after another God raised up. Even in history, in our country, in our world, we see God raising up leaders. And people that were successful were people that would not quit. There are people that believed this was achievable, that did not accept defeat. See, we can get that way. We can just kind of give up, get complacent, or get tired of fighting. It's not worth it. Yes, it is worth it. You need to win. People need to see you win. My children need to see me win. They need to see me believe God and get answers to prayer. Because there's going to come a time they're going to have to believe God and get answers to prayer. There's been times already, we've heard testimonies already of that happening. There's going to be a time you're going to need an answer from God.
That's right.
And if you're not really that concerned about yourself, what about your children?
Yeah.
What about your family? What about your friends? People need to see you win.
Yeah.
You know, I was looking at, turn to 1 Samuel 30. We'll get there in just a minute, but I was going to read a couple of quotes here I read. I was thinking of Winston Churchill. You know, God raised up Winston Churchill in Great Britain to fight and overcome and win against Hitler. And they were alone for a while. I mean, Hitler bombed Great Britain. You know, he tried to form a pact with him, and Winston said, no, he's evil, he's corrupt, we won't do it. And he stood firm. And he worked on the United States and worked on the United States to get them involved, and finally got Franklin Delano Roosevelt involved in the war. In fact, I think he said this when Pearl Harbor took place, when the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor. Winston Churchill says, we have now won the war. Because he knew the United States would get involved. And he knew when the United States got involved, they could beat Hitler. And we did, thank God. Are you with me? Thank God that regime was tore down. And you know, Winston Churchill, when he came on the scene, he was about 65 years old. He was not a young man. And he told them all this time that Hitler was evil, he was corrupt, and Neville Chamberlain, who was the prime minister at that time, says, no, I met him, he's a nice guy. You read your history books, it's amazing. And so when it came down to it, they found he wasn't a nice guy. They said, you know what? Churchill was right, and they called on him to lead their nation to victory, and he did. And these are some famous quotes. I just love the way he words this because it's so biblical, although they're not scripture. Stay with me. He said, this is in 1940. This is his blood, toil, sweat, and tears. But listen to this. He said, I say to the House, as I have said to the ministers who have joined this government, I have nothing to offer but blood, toil, sweat, tears, and sweat. We have before us an ordeal of the most grievous kind. We have before us many, many months of struggle and suffering. You ask what is our policy? I say it is to wage war by land and sea and air, war with all our might, war with all the strength that God has given us, and to wage war against a monstrous tyranny never surpassed in the dark and lamentable catalogue of human crime. That is our policy. You ask what is our aim? I can answer in one word. It is victory. Victory at all cost, victory in spite of all terrors, victory however long and hard the road may be, for without victory there is no survival. Now I think about those words, they stir me even today when I read them. Yeah. He believed that his cause was just, that it was God's will for them to win this thing. And that Hitler was evil. And that good would win over evil if he'd stand and he'd fight, no matter how long and how hard the struggle would be. Would to God we'd have that kind of faith. Really, I mean, we kind of give up after a week, you know. Listen to this. This is, he said, if you will not fight for the right when you can easily win without bloodshed. See how easy it is to believe God when nothing's going on. We can get in the Word. We can stand on the Word. We can believe God. We can confess His Word. We can get in the habit of prayer, get in the habit of trusting God. If we won't do it now, when things are not that bad, how do we expect to win the big battles when they come? Are you out there? If you will not fight for right when you can easily win without bloodshed, if you will not fight when your victory is sure and not too costly, you may come to the moment when you will have to fight with all the odds against you and only precarious chance of survival. There may even be a worse case. You may have to fight when there's no hope of victory because it's better to perish than to live as slaves. Man, of course, I don't believe that. I believe we can win if we fight, amen? But we need to get together and believe God and trust God all the time, on a regular basis, and train ourselves and get in shape, because you don't get in shape by chance. You get in shape on purpose. You daily get in the Word. You make a habit of trusting God and praying about things and believing God and standing on the Word, making confessions of faith. You know, I say I'm healed in Jesus' name when I don't feel sick, when I don't have any symptoms. That way when the symptoms do come, are you with me? And the attack does come, I'm already used to saying I'm healed, hallelujah. I've already got my faith built up in the Word. Woohoo! You want to hear another one? In the wake of Britain's June 1940 defeat at the Battle of Dunkirk, Winston Churchill addressed the House of Commons and said this, "We shall not flag or fail. We shall..." This guy wouldn't quit. I mean, we look at leaders like this, and there are leaders in the Bible like this, but we see even in modern history people who believe that God was on their side, that would not quit and kept their confession straight, they won. Yeah. Against insurmountable odds. He said, "We shall not flag or fail. We shall fight in France. We shall fight in the seas and the oceans. We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength in the air. We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be. We shall fight on the beaches. We shall fight on the landing grounds. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender."
Praise God. That's good.
That inspires me.
Yeah.
Another saying he used to say, I love this one. He says, "A pessimist sees difficulty in every opportunity. An optimist sees opportunity in every difficulty." You found 1 Samuel 30. Hey, here's a case where it just looked hopeless. I think of David. David, this is probably one of David's biggest challenges. David was being pursued by Saul. David was king, became king of Israel, you know, not in just name only, but in actuality right after this instance, because Saul was killed in battle about this time. While David was running from Saul, he went to the Philistines, and he joined up with the king of Gath named Achish, was his name. And he did it deceptively. He went over to the Philistines because he couldn't keep running from Saul in Judea. Saul kept chasing him down. So he went over to the Philistines. And he told the king of Achish that he would serve him, and he served him about a year and 4 months. And it was really kind of interesting because he gave David his own city because he had 600 men with their wives and children and everything. And David said, "I'll serve you and I'll fight for you," and so on. And he said, "Okay." He said, "I'll give you a city." He gave him one of the cities, that area called Ziklag. And he set up his wives and his children there and his 600 men. But for a year and 4 months, his men would go out to little villages and little towns, and he would wipe out the Philistines and not leave anyone alive, so no one could go back to the king and tell him that David killed them. And he would come back with all this spoil. And the king says, "Where'd you get all this spoil?" And he says, "Oh, I got it from the southern part of Judah and different places that we raided." And he would give him part of the spoil. And the king just loved David. Well, all this time, David's just wiping out his people. But it's obscure places. They didn't have internet, email, nor did they text. So there was nobody to tell him what David was doing. Well, finally, they come down to a big battle. And now the Philistines are going to go out to battle. And in this battle, actually, they wind up killing Saul and Jonathan. But David and his men got together to go out with the king of Gath. And some of the other princes of the Philistines says, "No way, we're not going out with this David. We get out in the middle of this battle, he's going to turn And he's gonna get in good graces again with Saul by taking our heads off. We've heard of this guy. They sing in Israel about this guy, that Saul killed his thousands and David kills his 10,000s. We are not going to fight with him. That's what they told the king. And the king tried to reason with him. Says, he's been with us all this time and he's done nothing but good. He's done nothing but back us up and be loyal to me. We want to take him out there with us. The princess says, we will not fight. So finally the king says, well, David, I am so sorry, but in the morning you need to take your men and go back to your home, Ziklag, because the princes won't allow you to fight. So they went back to this town of Ziklag. Is that good to give you a background now?
Yeah.
The problem is when they got there, the Amalekites, you remember all these names, Achish, Gath, Philistines, Malachi. The Amalekites had gone through Ziklag and had stolen all the goods and burned it to the ground, took all of his wives, took all of his children, took all of his cattle. So when they got back to their city, everything they had was gone. Probably one of the biggest challenges David ever faced. This, on the surface, would be a bad day. Are you with me? I mean, you could stand here and say, in the midst of all this, where is God? What has happened to me? What's God trying to do to me? First of all, God didn't do that. The Amalekites did. Are you with me? You know, if somebody burns a house down, that God didn't burn a house down, that person burned the house down. If somebody steals somebody's car, that person stole the car, not God.
That
went over real big. 30th chapter, first verse. Found it?
Mm-hmm.
Give you plenty of time to get there? Now it happened when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag attacked Ziklag. South and Ziklag, attacked Ziklag and burned it with fire, and had taken captive the women and those who were there, from small to great. They did not kill anyone, but carried them away and went their way. So David and his men came to the city, and there it was, burned with fire. Their wives and their sons and their daughters had been taken captive. This is not a good day. Then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no power to weep. That's a lot of weeping. I can't imagine the agony, the pain, and the suffering that they were going through. But I do know this. It was not God's will that they lie down and they accept all the pain and accept the agony and accept the loss and accept the suffering. It's not God's will that you accept the pain you're feeling, the suffering you may be going, the loss that you seemingly have gone through. Are you with me? Not God's will. We hurt. We cry. But you know what? We get back up. And it says here, the fifth verse, and David's two wives, Ahinoam and the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the widow of Nabal, the Carmelite, had been taken captive. So he was not immune to this. His wives were gone too, along with the rest of these men. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him. Hey, how about that, huh? You're already having a bad day, and then all your buddies want to kill you. Insult to injury, because it's his fault. Now it's his fault, see? Because the soul of all the people's greed, every man for his sons and daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Man, I love that. You say, well, man, how in the world are you telling me? How am I going to get strength? Do you realize what's happened to me? Do you realize what just took place? Well, you don't get strength from that. You get strength from God. But you got to strengthen yourself in God. You're going to have to go to Him. You're going to have to pray. You're going to have to seek His face and His counsel and His wisdom. And you're going to have to stand on His Word. This is what David did. He encouraged himself in the Lord. I believe is what the King James says. Strengthen himself, New King James. This actually is the Hebrew word kazak, which is to mean harden and strengthen. To harden you to difficulties. He can do that. God can do that. You may be hurting and just in pain, but God can take your pain and pass from pain to power. Hallelujah. You can take your adversity and have an advantage out of your adversity. Make an advantage out of your adversity. Make power out of your pain. Run to God. Turn to God. That's what the devil hopes you'll never do when you're going through something. He's banking on you not doing that. He's counting on you not. The devil does not want you to go to God, because if you do that, you're going to wind up winning this deal and coming out stronger, whereas the devil wanted to make you weaker and less of a person. This thing he threw at you actually is going to make you stronger, your faith is anyway, in the midst of it, because you choose to fight instead of give up. Seventh verse, then David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, please bring the ephod here to me. And Abiathar brought the ephod to David. So David inquired of the Lord. Wow, this is smart. Are you with me? First, he encourages himself in the Lord. Then he inquires of the Lord. I don't know what's happened to you, but you need to stop, check out, see what God has to say about it.
Amen.
We're called to fight. Mm-hmm. We're called to win. So David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for you shall surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. Hallelujah, somebody.
Amen.
What is God's will when loss takes place? What is God's will when suffering and pain hits your house? What is God's will when crisis comes knocking on your door? What is God's will when you have lost in the natural?
Mm-hmm.
Make no mistake about it, they'd lost a lot here. But that's not the end of the story. That sentence doesn't have a period on the end of it. It just had a comma. And the story changes completely when you call on God. And when you pursue and you overtake and you recover all. You know, I thank God didn't quit. I think he didn't give up when the devil got all of his people. When Adam sinned and Eve sinned. When sickness came in the earth, disease came, destruction came in the earth. I thank God Jesus came down with this attitude that he was going to pursue, overtake, and recover all. And Jesus did. He began to pursue sickness like a hound on a trail. And he began to heal the sick and raise the dead and cast out the devils. And he overtook and he recovered all that he went after, all that accepted, all that repented, all that turned to him, all that came to him. Are you with me? But God didn't just stay in heaven. He came down here. He didn't say it's a bad deal, nothing I can do about that. No, he came down. Are you with me? And that's what we've got to do. We've got to have this attitude that we are not going to quit. We're not going to let the devil have our kids. We're not going to let the devil have our health or our finances or whatever the case may be. We got to fight.
Come on.
Are you with me? And maybe we're not going through anything right now. Maybe there's no crisis on our horizon. Maybe that's the case. But I'll tell you what we need to be doing. Working out.
Yeah.
Getting in shape. Because battle's going to come. A crisis is going to hit. There's going to be times it looks like a loss. There's going to be times of pain and suffering. God doesn't send it. He's not behind it. But that's the time we need to stand up and be counted and fight this fight and win this deal. Amen. David did. Thank God he didn't keep laying there and keep crying. Thank God he didn't just relinquish his command. He didn't just walk away. Man, aren't you glad he decided to fight? Wow. And he did. He did just that. It says, he inquired the Lord, and the Lord said, pursue, for you shall surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. So David went, he and the 600 men who were with him, ninth verse, came to the brook Besor, where those stayed who were left behind. That's interesting because they were so wiped out and so tired, they couldn't even all go and fight. And it says here in the 10th verse, but David pursued he and 400 men, for 200 stayed behind, who were so weary they could not cross the brook Besor. Man, you know, at least there was enough to believe and stand and fight. And fight for what was right and fight for the promises of God, what God had promised. Now think about it. God promised them victory. He said, you get it all back, but you're going to have to go get it. And I believe without fail and without doubt, God gives us the promises of victory, but we're going to have to go get it. Amen. And victory is not going to come without fighting, because victories don't come without fighting. Victories only come from battles. You know, I know people say, I just love living from one miracle to the next. I really don't. I don't want to live from one miracle to the next, because that's just one crisis after another.
Right.
I kind of like them spread out a little bit. Are you with me? I mean, if I'm saying I need a miracle every day, then I'm in a crisis every day. Come on. You know, I want a miracle when I need one. Stay with me.
Yeah.
But I'm gonna head off some of this stuff, you know, so I don't have to go through getting a miracle every time. I love financial miracles, but I'd a whole lot rather have just prosperity. I love the healing power of God. I'd rather just walk in health, though. Are you with me? I love repentance from sin and God forgive me of sin, but I'd rather walk holy and not have to get it. But thank God it's there when I need it. Are you with me? And so we work out, we stay in shape. You got to purposely, you got to live life with a purpose, you know. And things are going great. That's when you need to get in there and really pray and really believe God and stand on the Word and make a habit of confessing God's Word and praying about things. Because what you're doing is you're building yourself up and getting strong. So when the crisis does hit, you're in shape. You are ready. Your faith doesn't weaken when you work on it. It weakens when you don't work on it. It doesn't strengthen when you lie down and do nothing. It only strengthens, your faith only strengthens when you're working on your faith. It's an amazing thing. When you don't do anything, you get weaker. You can only get in shape on purpose. Amen? Okay, so it just to give you the story, because if I read through this whole thing, I'll be here all night. It's a good story. Amen? As they were going, they ran across this little servant, an Egyptian boy, that was a servant to the Amalekites. The Amalekites had come through, you know, and taken all their stuff. Now they're on their way to pursue them. It's a tremendous feat when you think of 200 of them were so weak they couldn't. So the 400 kept going. They weren't in peak condition.
Yeah.
But they had a leader who would not quit. They had a leader who would pursue, who had sought God and heard from God and was walking and running and fighting on that word and on that promise. Well, they ran across this servant and they asked him about the Amalekites. And he says, yeah, I was a servant to the Amalekites and got sick 3 days ago and my master left me laying here. And he says, okay. David says, if you'll show us where they're camped, would you take us and show us where they're camped? He says, well, yeah, if you don't kill me, I will. And he said, I won't kill you. And he kept his word on that. So they found the camp where they were. And these 400 men who've been pursuing them, now think about this, after weeping and crying, they had no power to weep, 200 of which could not even go with them. 400 of them came up on the camp. And the 17th verse says that then David attacked them from twilight even until the evening of the next day. I don't know if you think about this. I mean, these guys were up days pursuing them, running on faith. They'd run out of adrenaline. Are you kidding me? They're running on faith. They were trusting God. They had encouraged and strengthened themselves in the Lord. They'd taken His word to pursue, to recover, to pursue, overtake, and recover all. That's the kind of attitude we've got to have. What are we going to do when the devil comes knocking on our door? What are we going to do when crisis hits? We're going to pursue, we're going to overtake, and we're going to recover all. What are we going to do when we suffer a loss? It happens. When it seemingly we fail. Failure is an event, not a person. We're going to pursue, we're going to overtake, and we're going to cover all. Are you with me? That's faith, see? That's God's will. God's will is for you to fight, the good fight of faith. Lay hold upon eternal life, whereunto you are also called, and has professed a good confession before many witnesses. You said you believe God, now let's follow through with it. Amen? You said you believe His promises. You've prayed before, hadn't you? You ever had a prayer answer? Sure you have. You ever had a promise you stood upon came to pass? Sure you have. Well, this is not time to quit. This is time to dig in. That's what David did. Amen. He went out after them, 17th verse, and attacked them from twilight to evening the next day. Not a man of them escaped. Now get this. Listen closely. Except 400 young men who rode on camels and fled. Well, wait a minute. There's only 400 men David had. How many did they wipe out? We don't know. Thousands of them he must have killed. And 400 on camels fled. Now, I'm sure they were pretty wealthy, well-to-do, because not everybody had camels back then. And they fled and got away. So David recovered, 18th verse, all that the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his two wives. And nothing of theirs was lacking, either small or great, sons or daughters, spoil or anything, which they had taken from them, David recovered all.
Amen.
Wow. Is that awesome? If you read on there, they didn't just get what was taken from them. The Amalekites had been on raids for weeks or months or whatever. They'd gone through several other villages and wiped them out. So they had all kinds of spoil that David and them recovered. They didn't just get their stuff back, but they got all the stuff that the Amalekites got from all these other people. See, that's what's so good. If you'll fight, not only will you recover whatever it is you lost, but God will put you in a position where you'll have more than you had when you started. You know, everybody wants to talk about Job. I'm just amazed at that sacred cow. You know, when trouble happens and poverty hits and sickness hits and death hits, we don't want to talk about Job. But you know, all you got to do is read Job. Do you realize that when Job finally did pray for his friends and prayed at the very end, the very last chapter, 42nd chapter of Job, first time he ever asked God to do anything, never asked God to help him. In the midst of all of his problem, he accepted all of his problems. He said, "The Lord give, the Lord take away, blessed be the name of the Lord." He was wrong to make that statement. Jesus very plainly said, "The thief comes, steal, kill, and destroy. I've come that you might have life." But as long as he believed that, as long as he said that, that was all he's going to get. He's going to lose everything and never get anything back. Yeah. The very last chapter of Job, he repents after God appears to him and talks to him. He even says with his own mouth, he said, "The things I've said, I did not know what I was saying. I was wrong." And God said, "Well, you pray for your friends and I'll restore to you what you've lost." And he prayed for his friends, and the Bible says he had twice as much stuff as he started with. Wow. Now, if I didn't even know all the theology of Job, if I didn't even understand all the implications, and there's some, you know, some easy, simple answers to Job, and he did the best he could. He didn't know what we know. He wasn't under the covenant we're under. He didn't even know what the narrator Job knew. The narrator of the book told us that the Satan did that. Job didn't know Satan did that. He didn't know Satan was around. But if I didn't know anything but this, when someone says to me, "Remember Job," when I'm going through a crisis, I ought to jump and shout and say, "Hallelujah, I'm going to get twice as much stuff." Now, granted, they probably don't mean that when they say that. They probably want you to think that you're supposed to suffer because Job did, but they missed the point. He got twice as much stuff when it was all over.
Right.
That'd be like talking about David and Ziklag. Remember David and Ziklag? Lost all of his wives and lost all of his kids, and the whole town was burnt to the ground. They cried, but they couldn't cry anymore. Remember David? Yeah, I remember David. He got up, he fought, he got it all back. Plus all the spoils from all the other places that the Amalekites had been to. Why is it we miss that point? The point is life's a battle. That's the point. The point is if you fight in Jesus' name with God's word, you will win the battles of life.
Amen.
You're never going to live in a manner that you'll never be attacked, and never have Christ, never have pain, never have suffering, never have opposition. No, because we have an enemy. We have an enemy. The devil, who walks around as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, the Bible says. James 4:7 tells us, "Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." He's not going to disappear, cease to exist, when you defeat him. He'll come back again later with something else. That's all right. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee again. There's a battle going on, amen? But we win. We win this deal. You know, this story, as it goes on, in fact, I challenge you to read the whole thing. We don't have time to go verse by verse. But I think it's awesome here at the end that it says in the 26th verse, let's read the 26th verse, look at this. "Now when David came to Ziklag, he sent some of the spoil to the elders of Judah, to his friends, saying, 'Here is a present for you from the spoil, the enemies of the Lord, to those who were in Bethel, those who were in Ramoth of the south, and those who were in Jatir, and those who were in Arir, and those who were in Sibmoth, and those who were in Eshtemoah.'" Wow. Just saying those names will make you off into tongues. "And those who were in Rachel, and those who were in the cities of Jeremelites, and those who were in the cities of the Kenites, and those who were in Hormah. Hey, and those who were in Koresham, and those who were in Athak, and those who were in Hebron." How much stuff do you think he had?
Yeah.
He was sending spoils to all these cities.
And they shared with the 200 that stayed behind.
And they shared with the 200 stayed behind. Yeah, in fact, he made a law, as a law in Israel, because some of the men that went with him said they're not going to give portions to the 200 that didn't stay, that stayed behind. He says, no. He says, those that stay and those that go get the same portion. I love that. That's an awesome law, because really when you think about it, there are people that go, there's people that send those that go. There are people that pray, there's people that go. There's people that finance the gospel, and some people that get out there on the fields. You know, we're supporting missions all around the world. We're going to get the rewards they're going to get too, because we're part of what they're doing. There are people in this church that do all kinds of outreaches and ministries. It's because this church is here, they are able to do that. Maybe you're not the ones that go with them. I encourage you, when you can, go do that. But listen, your prayers and your finances and your support here makes that possible, and we all get rewarded for that. If someone comes down here and gets saved, hallelujah, just because I preached a good message, glory to God, because I look good. I don't get the reward for that. We all get the reward for that. Are you kidding me? Just because I did the preaching and they got saved, I get the reward. Are you kidding? Listen, if this church wasn't here, I wouldn't be preaching. If you didn't support me, I'd be out working somewhere. Those that stay, those that go, they all get the same reward. Amen? Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. But the point is, we need to fight. Yeah. We need to fight. We need to pursue. We need to recover all. I don't know what you've gone through. I don't know what it is. It could be minor, it could be major, it could be mediocre. I don't know. But as I said before, failure is an event, not a person. And these are temporary things. Losses are temporary things. But victory, hallelujah, it's eternal. And if you'll fight this thing and don't give up, maybe it's a job. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's health. You know, I don't know what the situation. Maybe you had a bad marriage. I don't know. Don't give up on marriage. Marriage is good. Marriage is a good thing. It's a God thing. Hello. I mean, whatever the case may be, you need to. If you're going to recover, you're going to have to fight. If you lie down, you do lose. The only way you lose as a Christian in any respect, the only way you would lose is by default. You just not fight. If you fight and believe God, you're going to win this thing. And I just love the attitude of David. And of course, you know, I read those quotes of Winston Churchill. You know what made him do that? He wasn't a real godly man, I'm not saying that, but he did believe in God, and he believed the cause was just, and he believed God was behind what they were doing. Woo! We win this deal, amen? Amen. So pursue, overtake, and recover all. Don't lay down because something happened. Don't lie down. No, get back up. You stand up, you fight, and you win.